All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Going to be touching on the top plays for the Scottish Open. But first, just a quick recap from the John Deere Classic. Then if we look at the GPP winning lineup, it included Grayson Sig, which was the only value play that I told people to be on. And by value play, I mean sub 7K play, okay? The GPP winning lineup had an average mile rank of 21, which was pretty awesome. That continues the trend of this season, where good lineups are actually winning this year. Kind of strange there, because last year that was not the case. It's just weird. We look at the showdown. We had a winner. All right, so took down a showdown in round one. That was a lot of fun. So that makes two showdown GPPs won over the past month. Pretty fun stuff there. Overall, the week did go as expected, though. A little bit hit or miss, and that's kind of shown by the player pool here. So looking at the player pool, we had the runner-up in Alex Smalley, who is also a core play. Kind of ended up being one of the better kind of leverage plays as well. Wasn't as chalky as I thought he would be. Let's look at the player pool, though. 30% did miss the cut. I was only on 20 players, so like that's like six players. But 45%, I had this flip. Here we go. 45% finished top 20 or better, and 25% finished top 10 or better. That's exactly how, you know, we expected the week to go. That's just how those weeks go. Where, yes, the players that you're going to be on that are going to be playing well are going to go off and going to produce as you would like. And the players that are going to struggle are going to be the ones that hurt you, and they're going to be kind of unexpected. I would say like Dylan Wu and Kevin Yu, those two are making me very frustrated. If you just switch my ownerships to them the last 3 weeks, you know, we're making bank. Just kind of crazy there. And obviously we're just going with the seemingly better play each week. But that's, I mean, that's PGA DFS. That's these tournaments that we have. But yeah, we almost had the eighth outright winner of the season. Instead, ninth runner up of the season, kind of brutal there. The main builds, I did have two that I ran out because I wasn't comfortable kind of ending up on Ryan Palmer and William. The kind of a lucky play there ended up helping me cash in that specific build. But I ran out two. They both cashed. Finally, that was a 3 week stretch where I didn't cash after having a 3 month stretch prior this season of cashing. So it was nice to get back there. And it was weird. During that 3 week stretch, I felt very unlucky. So it was nice to get back into the green this week. Continues the awesome season that we've had. And then just kind of looking at the construction of the week, GPP wise, the cashman was 47.452 cash in GPP's minimum, and then cashman in single entry contest was 44.35. I do want to call it the 9-to-5 model. If you just search by, you know, the top 65, obviously players are going to make the cut. 1.7 spots better than DraftKings, so slightly better there. Obviously, we like to see that. And then the ownership leverage as well was only about 3.8 spots better than how they would rank out ownership wise. Still good, but not as good as the normal, like around seven spots better. All right, so getting into the tournament this week, we've got the Genesis Scottish Open. Might be doing the Barbasol Championship coverage as well in some capacity, but no, in this video, we're covering the Scottish Open. And so the reason that we have two events is because this was an old DP Tour event. And so because of that, we are only going to have one past champion listed on the PGA Tour website, but we do have other past champions of this tournament also in this field. Now, with that being said, we don't exactly have a full sample size of data that we would like to have going into it, although we do have a good indication of what the key stats are that we should be looking at based off of the performance from Xander Schauffele and from some of the other players from the previous years. We can see the 200 plus iron play, that is going to be kind of a key metric, and then also just good drive percentage. Now, I do want to point out that typically speaking, this event does have kind of bad weather and is also projected to have bad weather this week as well, so that can make it interesting. It can make it play more difficult. So key stat wise, I am going to be looking at total driving, birdie to bogey ratio, that 200 plus yardage stat, good drive percentage, strokes gain differential, and then obviously just strokes gain total, effective scoring as well. So now when getting into the high tier range, it is kind of easy for us to see which players that we should be on. And I'm going to start out with Xander Schauffele, last year's defending champ. I mean, he has just been a stud. We know that. Okay, lather, rinse, repeat with both Xander and Patrick Hanley. They have done really well for us thus far this season. And there are two players that really just make a ton of sense to be on this season. When we look at Xander Schauffele as if play, we can see he has been a very good golfer at this course. Not only did he finish first at this tournament last year, he did finish 10th at this tournament the previous year as well. Key stat wise, you know, nothing too alarming. He's actually going to be a top five stat in the field, really just coming in, checking all the boxes like he has been this whole season. I mean, course history has been there. He's going to be a good specialist as well. When looking at all the key characteristics of this week's tournament, he's coming in as the best specialist. To me, he's a player that we should just be ending up on. And then from there, Patrick Hanley, I mean, the form has just been spectacular there for him as well. Fourth, 14th, third, 30th, 9th, 21st. I mean, just tremendously good stuff there from him. The issue with Patrick Cantlay is that he just hasn't had that recent W. Same thing with Xander Schauffele. We are still chasing that with these two plays. That is kind of the worry with them as a play. At the same time, it's very difficult not to love these two plays. I mean, Xander Schauffele, course history-wise, had a top five finish here last year. Key stat-wise, he's the second best stat fin in the field, just coming in, checking all the boxes there as well. Recent form has been spectacular. You look at long-term form, you look at short-term form, top eight or better in all those. Specialist-wise, fifth best specialist. I mean, we are getting two straight players at, you know, kind of a discount here. And outright-wise, you can bet them as well. I mean, double-digit odds on them, that's spectacular. They're coming in top five in all the key metrics that we're looking at. I mean, they make for pretty good kind of starting points in builds this week. But that being said, we do have some other good options as well. Another one of those good options is going to be Tyrrell Hatton. So Tyrrell Hatton has been playing some great golf as well. I mean, you look at the profile for Hatton, he's coming in as a player that we just want to be on, especially given this price tag. He's also someone that has tremendous course history, finishing 18th and 14th at this event. And now he gets a little bit, I guess, on the DP Tour side, you know, a little bit of a bump there rather than on the PGA Tour, where obviously his career vaulted by being a stud on the DP Tour. So it wouldn't be shocking to see him play well. We look at his past five starts, a third and a fifth place finish. He is also someone that you would argue is due for a victory. So it just would not be shocking to see him go out and compete and potentially find himself in the mix on Sunday. And then lastly, I do think it's worth calling out Ricky Fowler and Wyndham Clark as plays. They are both going to be good plays, both coming in as top 10 picks in the 9-5 model. Obviously, the recent form has been there for him. I do worry about Ricky just a little bit coming in off of the victory. You know, you never know how players can respond mentally after that. I think Ricky's going to be fine. But I do love the price tags for these players that are really just really good stat fits. Like we pull it up here, we can see Tyrrell Hatton, the fourth best pick in the 9-5 model. Ricky Fowler, fifth best pick in the 9-5 model. Then we get Wyndham Clark, who's coming in as a top 10 play in the 9-5 model. Really nothing to worry about with Wyndham Clark, except for that miscut there at the PGA Championship. I've touched on this a bunch. That was just kind of a random miscut. Wyndham Clark finished 16th at this event last year. Ricky Fowler's finished 41st and miscut thus far. You know, those are just all three really good plays there. Let's go ahead and drop down into the mid tier. So guys, just looking at it, the mid tier is going to be pretty ugly. I'm just going to suggest to you guys not play too many players in this range. If you want to roll with Max Homa, Justin Rose, you certainly could. Ludwig, if you guys are loving that as a play, you can. Really, the only two plays I want to be on are going to be Alex Smalley, Cordy Connors, and Adam Hadwin. And probably just Adam Hadwin if we're just talking about the 8K price point here. And so looking at Adam Scott, I might have said Adam Hadwin on accident. I don't know. But it's Adam Scott that we're looking at here. He's one of those players that when you go to trust him, he just seems to burn you. But when you don't, he goes out and gets the top 10 plays finished. So I'm just going to roster Adam Scott just continually until he really, really lets me down like 2 weeks in a row at the US Open. Was a really good play. You know, missed the cut. That was unfortunate. But followed up with a top 20 place finish at the Travelers Championship. And then, you know, look at besides that, the form has just been spectacular there. He does not have a start on this tournament over the past 4 years. And then looking at Cordy Connors, finished 55th and also missed cut. So not the best course history there as well. It feels like we're just paying up for someone that's been a little bit too hit or miss with Cordy Connors. No real rhyme or reason for his missed cuts as well, looking at it in terms of prior to the tournament. So to me, that's enough of the mid tier. Let's go on and get into the low tier where we are getting a ton of good plays. I already mentioned Alex Smalley as a play. He is someone that, you know, I did think he was going to win coming in to Sunday. I didn't really have that much faith in Denny McCarthy, even though he was one off the lead. I was kind of banking on Alex Smalley getting the victory, and he came very close. He did finish two strokes off the lead, but man, he had a few putts that were just right there. Obviously, you know, you make one of those, you probably make the next one as well. But needless to say, he's coming in as a pretty darn good play across the board. I mean, finished top 10 at this tournament last year, which is a little bit surprising. Recent form could be better. Staff, it could be get better given the field, but overall, he's coming in as a top 20 play. He is someone that just overall, given the price tag, is someone I think we can be looking at. Now, there are going to be some other good plays that we can certainly end up on. Let's go ahead and take a peek at those. And then looking at Aaron Rye as a play, I feel like he's going to be a lot of people's favorite just based off of kind of what I was seeing on Twitter. So we'll see. I mean, Monday morning, you know, you never really know. People just kind of get odds crazy. And I think that's part of it with Aaron Rye, but he certainly is looking like a good play. 9th, 24th, 3rd for his recent form. When we pull him up as a play, he's someone that has won at this tournament. So his course history is kind of strange. Miscut, 35th, 1st, miscut. So definitely strange in that regard. does make you wonder, but key stat wise, he's coming in as a top 20 stat fit, and we can see like key top 10 and two of the key metrics that we're looking at stat fit wise. Recent form has been spectacular. Kind of worried about his specialist ranking, but all in all, like given the price tag, he is certainly someone that we could see in contention. And I get why people are betting him 65-1. Those are some pretty good odds. But I'm actually curious now: is he coming in with an outright tag? Let's take a peek. And guys, this should really sum it up. Look how many players we have coming in with outright tags: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That is crazy. That should tell you the field that we have. And then obviously long shot bet is probably going to be pretty decent as well. Actually, not only three. So yeah, Aaron Rye popping up in there as the third best long shot bet that we should be on. And then just while we're at, let's just take a peek at the data tag core plays. I kind of mentioned this in passing with Seb Strzok as a winner. He was listed as low exposure play. So the core plays are looking like Xander, Cantlay, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, Clark, Smalley, and Bjork, who is going to be someone I mentioned in a little bit here. So yeah, we kind of get the gist of it this week. Let's continue on with the low tier though. And this range is kind of loaded. There's so many good plays that we could be on. Like Thomas Dietrich is a play that I really don't mind. Certainly form worries me a little bit there, obviously, but not exactly someone we need to stay away from, but not exactly someone we want to be targeting. Definitely more or less, you know, my quote unquote shoulder play. I do think Bjork is kind of one of the best plays in the field this week. I mean, just look at that form on the DP Tour. 4th, 8th, 9th, 6th. And we are getting him at such an extreme discounted price tag. That is something that certainly interests me. And when we pull him up as a play here, we can see pretty good course history, making 3 straight cuts in a row at this tournament. Yes, some of the key stat data that we're pulling in is a little bit skewed this week simply because I have to include DP Tour based stats, which is a little bit different, okay? But key stat wise, top 10 stat fit based off of the DP Tour stats that we have coming in. Yes, it's a little bit different. Don't get me wrong. You could probably bump him to maybe even 30, but overall, good sign, you know, coming in as a top 20 specialist. Once again, a little bit different there on the DP Tour. We could kind of mark him down a little bit because of that grade on a curve, if you will. But all in all, we are seeing that he is significantly mispriced. Okay, this is a play in which I'm perfectly fine making given the price tag that we have. And then from there, Doug Gim is casually popping up there as well. The form has been there for him. Just a really decent kind of shoulder shrug based play there. Course history wise, finished top 20 at this event last year, coming in, you know, really strong form over his last 6 events, basically finishing top 35 or better in all those. And then lastly, just dropping down into that value tier here. Not exactly that many players I want going out of my way to play. There are a couple of DP Tour players that, you know, could have some upside here. Richie Ramsey's been someone that's been playing well there with multiple top 10 finishes over his past 6 starts. Love to see that. Kind of the same thing here. Maybe a little bit more safety with, I can't even butcher his last name, but making 16 out of 18 cuts now. You know, played well-ish at the US Open, just making the cut. Obviously, we like to see that. A little bit easier of a field, so you kind of just expect him to continue to keep up the form, and I do think we have a pretty strong potential to get a made cut out of him, so it could be a cheap made cut for us here. And then just for what's worth, like, it wouldn't be shocking to see like Dylan Wu have a bounce back week. I mean, the last 2 miscuts that he's have not been terrible miscuts. They've been miscuts on the number, and if we kind of continue the trend of the Kevin Yu or Dylan Wu trend, then we want to probably be on Dylan Wu this week instead of Kevin Yu, although Kevin Wu is certainly someone we could look at as a play as well. So looking at the core plays this week, I am looking at Bjork. I do expect him to continue to play with that good form that he has been in really this whole season. We can see a bunch of top 10 finishes in there. Yes, it is the DP Tour there, but kind of, oh well, right? He's playing good golf. We're getting him at a cheap price tag. 14 out of 14 make cuts on the DP Tour. Love to see that there from him. Love that price tag. And then also looking at Tyrrell Hatton, I think this is a very good price tag. He could easily be someone's first click. He has tremendous course history at this track. Good staff fit, good specialist, really coming in, checking all the boxes. And then same thing for these next 2 players, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Obviously, we'll probably have to go one or the other. That's really up to you guys. Patrick Cantlay ranks as the top play in the 9-to-5 model, so probably going with him, but that's really splitting the hairs. When we're looking at it between Cantlay, Xander, and Scotty, it's very, very close with who are the top plays this week. Obviously, just taking the price discount away from Scotty, then going with Patrick Cantlay or Xander Schauffele. Once again, that's going to be up to you guys, but let's go ahead and give you a first look build. By the way, how about that Troy Merritt first look build play from last week? Gave yourself a pat on the back if you ended up playing him. So yeah, obviously, we can't really make that work. Let's just go with Cantlay, I guess, instead of Xander. No real rhyme or reason, just kind of feels right. And then we're just going down into this low tier. There are a bunch of good plays. Could easily go Aaron Rodgers I could easily go Alex Smalley. I'm perfectly fine with those plays. Andrew Putnam was someone that was casually popping up there as well. I actually don't mind the idea of going with those two value-based European Tour players if you want to go that route, like right here. And then we can afford to pay up for another stud. You know, we could easily fit in Wyndham Clark there as well. So not a terrible route. And that's kind of how I am looking at this week to start out. Just want to give a reminder to you guys, if you enjoy this coverage, make sure to give a like and subscribe. I do appreciate that. If you guys want to become a member on the website, it is $10 a month. Gives you access to everything that you'll need for PGA DFS. And it's just $10 a month. I price that for you guys. All right, that's all. Good luck this week. Oh, and thanks for watching, guys. Let's have a good slate. And as always, let's keep cashing.